This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum issued a report earlier this fall which analyzed the success of the Menominee Valley's rebirth. One of the aims of that report was to take what was learned from that success story and apply it to other areas of the city that faced challenges comparable to what the Valley faced just a couple of decades ago.
One area that many, both in government and in industry, are looking to as the next priority is what's known as the 30th Street Corridor. It's an area that includes the Century City project already underway at 35th and Capitol, but it encompasses 880 acres in all, from the Menominee Valley at the south to Hampton Avenue on the north, and includes neighborhoods, existing industrial space, and blighted brownfields.
The massive effort to turn that region around is the subject of a six-part series by Susan Nusser in the online urbanmilwaukee.com. She joins us in the studio to share what she's learned about the opportunities and the challenges in the 30th Street corridor.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking, in some ways, what they're trying to do, you know, making a coordinated effort to develop the area, is in contrast to how the area evolved originally, which is it evolved organically. You know, industry moved from the lakefront into the valley and then started moving up the corridor because there was a rail line there and it was a good place for business. And, you know, a little business went in, and then a bigger business went in, and then another little business. And so they just kept going, you know, moving up where there was room. And then A.O. Smith leapfrogged out into the, you know, at the northern end right up against Capitol because there was a lot of room there. And they already needed a big site. So they sort of leaped out there, and then the housing followed. So it developed really organically following the manufacturing industries, and now it's all there and it needs to be redeveloped in sort of like a non-organic way because it's got to be organized and planned and remediated. So
a lot of people are touting the district as the city's next Menominee Valley. How is the corridor like the valley, but more importantly, how is it different?
It's very different than the valley. I think the Menominee Valley project makes everybody very confident that they can handle something like the 30th Street corridor. But the Menominee Valley, there was no housing in the Menominee Valley. So the corridor is bigger, and then you have, you know, about 7,000 houses, residential units lining the corridor. So it cuts right through the middle of the city. It's in the most sort of challenged economically, socially challenged section of the city. And there's a whole bunch of neighborhoods. It goes through Lincoln Creek and Sherman Park and Metcalf Park, Miller Valley, Washington Park, Walnut Hill. There's a bunch of distinct neighborhoods, all of which have their own constituencies. So in comparing the two, when I was talking to Alan Perlstein from MWork, Advanced Manufacturing Incubator, he called by comparison, he said the Menominee Valley is like industry in a teacup, right? Because it's really just – and all of those issues are floating in and out, and there's roads going everywhere, and there's a lot of infrastructure. There's bridges and curb cuts and a lot of traffic and things all that have to be managed. And so it's much, much more complicated.
You mentioned MWork. Who are the other major players involved in trying to breathe new life into this area?
There are sort of categories of players. One of the interesting things about this project is that really it's requiring that a bunch of different city, state, federal constituencies work at the same time. So you have – there's the way that I broke it up into the article is that you have business development. So that's one area, and that's an area where there's quite a bit of activity right now because of the Century City development. But there's also workforce development, which has to happen in tandem to the business development. And then there's also housing development, which also sort of has to happen simultaneously because you're not going to put a $1 billion business next to a bunch of boarded up houses. You're not going to bring your business here if you don't have workers. But if you're going to train the workers, you have to have jobs. They have to have places to live. It all works together. So your main players sort of in the business development are developers like Alan Perlstein from NWork, Michael Weiss from General Capital, who just broke ground, you know, about a month ago on his new building up at Century City. And then so they're in the business area. Then you have people like Tom Ryan, who's a major player, sort of very quiet, you know, behind the scenes. He's been in the corridor, just east of the corridor, for about 30 years. He's the one who stepped up and bought the Eaton building when it was for sale, and that's where MWork is now housed. And he has he owns almost 1 million square feet, I think is what he said, about 1 million square feet of industrial property in that area. So he's one of the angels of the corridor. He simply buys the property and gets the thing started. And then, you know, Alan Perlstein, who was at DRS Technologies, you know, he started MWork to incubate business. And then on the kind of neighborhood level, the Northwest Side Community Development Corporation is a major player up there on the north end. They are both a community development corporation and a community financial institution. And so they can function like a specialty bank. And so they're involved with PNC. PNC is one of the major banks to step forward to give them the money, to loan them the money along with WIDA to develop the housing initiative in that area around Century City. So those are sort of those developers in that area. But MMSD is a major player. I mean, they're already working north of the corridor because they have a pipe there that goes down to their deep tunnel. And so they are in there dealing with the stormwater issues. So they're already players up in that area. The city, of course, is huge. Rackham, the redevelopment authority of the city of Milwaukee, they're of all the people who sort of have a plan, there are hundreds of pages of plans written about this area. They come from the M7. They're coming from the DNR. They're coming from the city. They're coming from the Triangle Neighborhood Association. So, you know, with all those plans, everybody seems to be attaching it to a basic infrastructure for the development that came out of the Redevelopment Authority's office. So that's, you know, Rocky Marcoux, Kean Burton, Benji Tim, who's the project manager and who's been on site there for years, knows everything about the space. He's really fun to talk to. And so that's the housing. But then you also have organizations like GPS, which is an education organization that's focusing on this sort of technical training to get people into apprenticeships and working on site to develop these skills. And they're working with Nova Tech and they're working with MPS. And so all these people are involved. The faith-based groups are huge. Axe Housing, the Bishop's Creek is another one. So you have faith-based groups all along the corridor, different faith-based groups that are helping to organize the communities. Willie Wade is huge, alderman for the 7th District. This has been – he actually named Century City, I actually found out recently. So, you know, he's been involved. The mayor, huge, right? And he grew up in that neighborhood. So I think he has a – it's a special place to him. In the two most recent press events that I went to, he told that story both times about growing up in that neighborhood and what it meant to him to grow up there. So there's just – there are so many people involved. And for some people, it's what they do. So someone like Willie Smith, who's directing housing for the Northwest Side CDC, that's his job. I mean, he's just in there all the time. For Benji Tim and Kean Burton, they're just 30th Street Corridor. For someone like Wayman Winston from WIDA, who's heading the Transform Milwaukee project, it's just one of multiple projects that he's involved in. But there are
– I was just going to say, how much coordination exists among all of these people?
That's a great question because that's one of the issues that I uncovered in the process of doing this project is that people sort of expressed some concern. You know, we do have Rackham's plan and that's all sort of written out there. But, you know, one of the people, Darren Daniels, specifically at Bishop's Creek said, you know, there hasn't been a point at which everybody has come to the table and has hammered out exactly what we're going to do here. And then, you know, Michael Weiss had a great question when I interviewed him. He said, has anybody said what are going to be basically the benchmarks of success? You know, at what point do we say, okay, we completed the project? So the completion date for that is 2030. So I think there's some time to get that done.
But for example, in the Menominee Valley, you had this Menominee Valley Partners organization that came together and they had a pretty coherent picture of what it ought to look like.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what people point to is that you had the partners and they, you know, they coordinated things. They coordinated efforts. This was their focus. You have neighborhood organizations. I think NWSDCDC, the Northwest Side Community Development, is playing a big part, but they're not really in charge of more than their component of it. And so that in some ways what I really like about – what's so interesting to me about this project is that – you know, Milwaukee is really like – it's a city that's about parts. You know, parts is Milwaukee's culture. That's where our manufacturing industry – we didn't make the cars. We made the pieces that went into the cars. And this corridor is really about parts. It's about all these parts and are they going to come together in some kind of coordinated effort? And I think that's one of its challenges is that – the vision seems to be – everybody I talk to, there seems to be a common vision, but it's not clear if that has – if they have come together to articulate – that to each other and to confirm that that's the shared vision. So I think it's happening in silos. It's, you know, Michael Weiss talked about them, you know, working in silos. Each person's working on their piece of it and is owning their piece of it, but, you know, is it going to spread out and work cohesively?
And one of those common visions seems to be the notion that the kind of stuff that could go in there generally has to be advanced manufacturing, right?
Yeah, and that's coming from another, you know, the M7, right, the M7 development group. I mean, they're that's kind of as well that's driven by them because they're looking at advanced manufacturing for the region, you know, the whole southeast from Wisconsin region. And so their focus in their report was really they want to focus on what they're calling place-based industries, so industries that are specific to a place. And this is to prevent, you know, the kind, first of all, intra-regional and inter-regional competition where we're just, you know, an area is just fighting for a business to locate here by giving them better and better and better benefits, but there's no real reason for them to be here. So as soon as someone else can offer better benefits, they go. So one of the things that Milwaukee has to offer advanced manufacturing is, you know, a highly trained workforce that's already here. Right, it's the infrastructure is there. There's a 10-inch high-pressure gas line running under Capitol Avenue that can actually provide power to a number of industries. The Eaton Building has its own power generating facility there. So there's a lot of infrastructure in place that's specific to this region, and it's already advanced manufacturing is already a $38 billion industry for the region. So it makes sense to build on that to bring that industry back. And I think that's also part of Transform's plan. They've really identified what they're calling catalytic sites, areas around the city that are going to revive the development of the city. The Valley is one. You have the Water Center and the Reed Street Yards is sort of the water place. You have the Aerotropolis. They're looking at a food hub up on the northwest side at the old mall up there. And then the corridor is going to be industrial development, high-tech advanced manufacturing.
The rub against the 30th Street corridor has been surrounding access to the interstates. Is that as big a deal as some have made it out to be?
No, you know, everybody thought that the transportation was great. Everybody – that was really – it was interesting because it became a question for me as I was interviewing people. They said, it, you know, 43 is right there. You know, transportation is great. We're right near the Port of Milwaukee, which is a deep water port, so we can move goods in and out. There is a rail line. The condition of the rail line is a bit of an issue, and that because I think of the issue with Talgo and the, you know, the failure to develop that project, I think that's sort of an issue that people are either done talking about or don't want to talk about because whatever happened, we now no longer have a rail, proposed rail going in. So that transportation is that was what I thought the people were always talking about with transportation. But I started to wonder a little bit because there's concern in the community. I mean, some of the underlying – there are concerns about the project. This isn't the first time the city's tried to do something about this area, is that, you know, that people are talking, you know, in two different directions. So does transportation mean, oh, goods and services can get in and out? Or does transportation mean, oh, workers can come from outside the city, get to their job quickly, and then turn around and hop on 43 and drive away without ever interacting with the city? And so that's one of the issues. But transportation, I mean, universal, everybody's like, oh, the transportation's great because it's they can get in and out. The smaller issues of getting trucks down all those little streets, that's sort of a bigger issue. There is a transportation plan for the corridor that I ended up not writing about, but that's going to include figuring out how to get into – it's not so much a problem at Century City because that's set up for it. But once you start – as you, the further south you move, the more difficult it becomes to navigate because there are little roads and there are neighborhoods and they have to get trucks in and out.
Well, and finally, we mentioned the Menominee Valley a couple of times earlier in this interview. One of the major issues that corridor dealt with was environmental cleanup. How big a problem is that in the 30th Street case?
Well, you know, it's a problem, but, you know, when I look at the way that they're developing the corridor, I mean, the environmental cleanup issue is – that's sort of a known quantity. I mean, it's they know how to do it. It just costs money. I mean, money's hard to come by. They have to figure out how to get the money, but the city knows how to do that. Wayman Winston sort of talked about, you know, the city's good at building places and spaces. That's something that the city's good at. The human capital is the more challenging issue for them. You know, how do you develop the people resources that are there? So they've been – you know, there was a two-phase process, each costing about $400,000. This from City Redevelopment, Tori Kress, who does the brownfield development, where they kind of just, you know, had to figure out what was there. And one of the kind of interesting stories, so the Century City site, that was, you know, when A.O. Smith owned that, they just, I mean, they had that huge piece of property when they, you know, as Benji Tim said, you know, when they needed a new office, they just built something on stilts or they just covered over an alley. And so the process of discovery at Century City, they just didn't know what was under there. They went under looking for, there were some tanks, in-ground tanks that they knew about. There were others that they didn't know about. They found bunkers all over the place from the war work that they were doing. And so they had to figure out, you know, what was there. They're not, you know, they expect that there's going to be more surprises down the road. as they go along. And then you have it's pretty clear what you do. If it's a tank, it has to go. If it's a spill, that has sort of a different treatment because it depends on whether it's in the groundwater. And so, you know, they're doing it, you know, site at a time. Century City was the place that made the most sense to start there because it's 74 acres. And then as they move south, it gets more complicated because you have a much more diversified set of industries. And they're trying to do this development along with partners. One of the key themes that keeps coming up out of the story is how crucial the public-private partnerships are. And so, you know, when they want to develop a site, how they develop a brownfield or how they remediate a brownfield can depend very much on what business is going to go there. If it's an industrial use, you know, industrial buildings very often don't have basements. So if they don't have to dig a basement, they can just cap whatever's there. It's very developmental friendly. It's inexpensive. It's safe. It protects the area from being exposed to on-site removal. But if it's going to be sort of further south where they're doing more residential development, then they're going to have to – it's going to work along a whole different set of rules. I mean, there's an urban farm that's interested in taking over a piece of property. So there, that's going to be a whole different set of issues. So it's that has to happen in pieces. Again, all these moving parts having to come together, who's going to go in there, what are they going to use it for, and how are they going to make these pieces all work? But I think that having done the Menominee Valley, they're pretty confident that part of it, at least, they know what to do. They've done it before and they've made it work. And of course, it's going to be very Milwaukee. You know, MMSD is already working on the stormwater up north of corridor of Capitol. And it's going to, you know, so they know how to do these big visions and get the funding for these big visions to have a greenway that's going to run the length. You're going to have a bike path that connects the corridor to the Menominee Valley. It's sort of like this great vision. It's going to be walkable. The idea is they need to create boundaries between the industrial use and the residential use, but they want that to be sort of a permeable boundary defined by, you know, walkable natural space that both employees can use and neighborhood residents can use.
So 2030 is the aim here.
Yeah.
We might have time for a few more interviews between now and then.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be a lot going on for a while. And there's all these great spin-off stories that keep happening. You know, the first house, you know, the first family moved into the first house in the area. So there's all these just really interesting things. And it's an interesting – I think what's really interesting about it too is that we're – you know, Milwaukee's not the only city in the country or in the world that's dealing with this problem. I mean, it's a legacy city. And so one of the other overarching questions going forward is, does this work? Right? Is this going to work? Can these parts come together and make this work? You know, does it naturally follow that if you create jobs, then people will want to buy houses in the neighborhood? And if people want to buy houses in the neighborhood, does it naturally follow that crime is going to go down? Like, there's all these built-in assumptions. You know, but the question is anybody else doing this and making it work? And I don't think there's anybody out there. I mean, I haven't found anybody. I haven't found anybody who knows of anybody. Other cities are doing pieces of it. But has anybody done a whole project of this scope with as many built-in assumptions as this one has and made it work? So it would be interesting to see and to compare it. You know, that's sort of my interest going forward is to compare it to what other cities are doing.
It will be interesting indeed. Susan Nusser, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Susan Nusser's series, Corridor of Dreams, is online at Urban Milwaukee. There is a link to it from WUWM.com/Lake Effect.
Coming up next, a new way to encourage and support entrepreneurs opens in Walker's Point. We'll learn more when Lake Effect returns on WUWM right after this.